this political coliseum, we slay the rising beast with the fateful sword of truth that transcends hypocrisy and censorship. It's time to unleash yourself from the tyrants of media propaganda on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. This is Unleashed, the Political News Hour.
Welcome to Unleashed, the Political News Hour. I'm your host, Bruce Robertson, and here we are again to discuss the major news items of the week. You know, folks, before I get started, I'd just like to make one observation. I had a thought recently that I wanted to take to its logical extreme, if you'll just stay with me just a moment on this. Can you imagine if we just followed our Constitution exactly the way the founders of this nation intended for it to be followed? And what does that entail? Well, the way the founders intended for our nation to be set up was to have no income tax. There was no IRS. There was no vastly wasteful and expensive foreign aid. There was no CIA and no FBI. There was no private central bank in control of our interest rates. In other words, in control of the cost of our money. And they're also in control of inflation. So there was no boom and bust cycles driven by monetary policy. There was a robust hard currency backed by real assets like gold and silver. Remember those days? You used to be able to take our money right down to the bank, and the bank, right on the spot, would exchange it for the same value, the face value, in gold or silver. And you could take your silver down to the bank and exchange it for currency. What happened to those days? Those days where we had transaction anonymity instead of banks tracing our purchases and closing our accounts if they didn't like what we were buying. You don't think that's happened? Yes, it has. And there were no lobbyists in Washington with big money to bribe our politicians to vote a certain way, like the big pharmaceutical lobbyists that pushed the experimental vaccines on our citizens without FDA approval, without informed consent. And there were no major foreign influences in our politics. Well, sure, we had the Marquis de Lafayette, who came here and sat with Jefferson and gave us some aid in our Revolutionary War against the English. But was there foreign influence in our politics, per se? I think not. Marquis de Lafayette was an ally. And there were three branches in our government and only three departments. Back then, they only had the Department of State, the Department of War, and the Department of the Treasury. There was no bloated bureaucracy with 1 million federal employees, many of whom are union workers, and there was no collective bargaining on behalf of those union workers with only a politician and a union representative at the bargaining table, with no representation by the citizens of the country whose money they were being paid. And there were no administrative agencies with vastly expanded powers to create, enforce, and interpret law without any democratic oversight. Now, in contrast, the court and Congress have helped to create what Justice Robert Jackson described as a veritable fourth branch of government. How about that? By interpreting statutes, writing substantive regulations based on those interpretations, enforcing those regulations based on their interpretations, and in essence, acting as judge and jury in lawsuits or enforcement actions involving those regulations. As James Madison said, this is the very definition of tyranny. So imagine, folks, imagine if you will, a land where we just followed the original intent of the Constitution. Imagine how free and prosperous we would all be. And now for the big stories that are shaping our news week. This week we saw Congress vote on a TikTok ban. So let me put it in perspective. A bunch of old, non-tech savvy Republicans who can't even load an app on their phones or take a screenshot, who didn't read the bill, just voted 50-1 to ban TikTok. But if you actually read the bill, it's a Trojan horse bill similar to the Patriot Act, in that it gives Biden full power to ban any social media company he thinks is in the best interest of America, if he thinks it's in the best interest of America. So this would include Truth Social, Rumble, Telegram, and others potentially. I'd like to read you an assessment from a person who goes by the name Clandestine on X, on Twitter X. And here's what he said. Consider the timeline. The Biden regime just deployed every asset to stop Trump from being on the ballot, and they failed. Trump is projected to win. He has already won the nomination. Now, swamp rats want to pass a bill that would give Biden the power to control the flow of information on social media. The deep state are in desperation mode. They're looking for any angle to alter the calculus before November. The only way they can get away with stealing the election is if they cut out our tongues like they did last time. They have to regain their monopoly of the narrative and public perception. And they're coming for X. Make no mistake. You think they really care about China getting our data? Come on. They let China fly surveillance balloons like three times over us just in the last few months without consequence. They sell our state secrets to foreign adversaries. Hillary had state secrets on an unprotected server in her bathroom. Joe Biden had state secrets in his garage and in half a dozen other places, piled up in boxes in his garage next to his vintage Corvette, with no security, no protection, no lockbox, no supervision. This is not about TikTok or China. This is about election interference and the power struggle to control the flow of information. So I wouldn't take the bait. MAGA GOP should not be passing anything until Trump is back in office. All we have to do is hold the line, maintain the status quo, hold our position, and let Trump win. And then there's a very cogent commentary and analysis by former presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy. Yes, I know he's not eligible to be president. Okay? He's not eligible. However, he does make a lot of sense a lot of times when he talks. So I would like to suggest that Vivek is worth listening to. Let me see if I can cue up the speech that he made, the commentary that he made. So here's Vivek Ramaswamy in an interview giving his take on the House passing the TikTok bill. Listen to this.
Is the TikTok ban that just passed the House? Your thoughts on it, starting with Vivek?
Yeah, so look, my thought is TikTok has major issues. There's at least three categories of major issues. Number one is persuasion threats to the United States of America, the Chinese government or Chinese affiliated entities determining what US users do or don't see. Number two is forced data transfers to the Chinese Communist Party from a US tech company. And number three is addictive tendencies in kids under the age of 15. Major problems. However, I think this bill fails across the board to address those issues. It's incomplete in addressing those issues while also creating a civil libertarian nightmare, giving to the Biden administration exclusive executive authority effectively to decide which kinds of so-called foreign adversary-controlled apps or even websites are going to be shut down or not, or are going to be owned by whom. And so if you're concerned with the Biden administration engaging in backdoor censorship using tech companies to do it, I think it's a bad idea to give that Biden administration even broader executive latitude to do the same thing. If you want to address the issue, as I do favor doing, address the issue across the board. Social media in kids under the age of 16, it's an issue. Address it. Forced data transfers to the CCP. I don't like it if Google's doing it. I don't like it if Airbnb is doing it. I don't like it if TikTok is doing it. Deal with it across the board rather than in a company-specific manner. And the specific manner in which this bill is written does two things. One is it's designed to exclude the very companies that have been lobbying for it. This is a Facebook lobbying bill. That's a dirty little secret in Washington, D.C. It's designed to exclude U.S. companies from being burdened. I'd say include all companies, U.S. or not, from stopping data transfers to the CCP. Look at Airbnb and what they've been doing.
You can get the general gist of what he had to say. He makes a hell of a lot of sense here, folks. Regardless what you think of Vivek, he's spot on this TikTok situation. So I wonder whether our senator, our congressman rather, even read that bill, even read that piece of legislation. They rarely read anything that they pass, right? So, and I have one more thought on the TikTok situation. Canceling TikTok because China owns it, but at the same time, allowing China to release a deadly lab-created virus into our midst, at the same time, allowing China to buy up our farmland, our homes, commercial real estate, and companies, and at the same time, we keep granting Chinese EB1 and EB5 and student visas to go to MIT and Stanford so they can surreptitiously steal our technology and ship it back to China. I mean, how does that make any sense? Folks, here at America Out Loud News Radio, we're seeking the truth. We want to share the truth with you. We want to unleash the truth so that you can make up your own mind. And we only recommend sponsors, for example, that offer products that can help you. And now we're going to take a break from our sponsors, and we're going to come back and discuss this further. Stay right there.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit HealRight.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Clean, pure, with premium ingredients. Global Healing's Pure Plant Protein offers 20 grams of protein per scoop, and it's a perfect way to maintain and build lean muscle while indulging yourself. It combines enzymes and probiotics to maximize nutrient absorption, improving digestion and your gut health. Available in vanilla and chocolate flavors, elevate your protein consumption while supporting your overall wellness with Pure Plant Protein. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
Welcome back to Unleashed, the Political News Hour, with your host, Bruce Robertson. Before we left for the break, I was talking about some of the insane things that are happening in our world. And I have a few more to share with you now. Haiti is in the news again, as chaos rips that country to shreds. It's really a sad situation, what's going on down there. And thousands of Haitians are fleeing toward our shores. Some of them just want to find a better way, a better life. But some of them are also criminals, armed, gangs, dangerous, and they propose a threat to our nation and our security and our families and our safety. And this must be dealt with immediately. We now have warnings of Haitians pouring in by boat and across our southern border. Okay? Some of them are armed gang members, according to reports. Why is this happening? Look at Haiti. Haiti's oil reserves are now worth approximately $120 billion U.S. dollars. They say Haiti is the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere. Is that true? Well, not really. That's kind of a boatload of BS as far as I'm concerned, and here's why. The Haitians are poor, but the land of Haiti is very rich with natural resources. They have bauxite. They have gold. They have vetiver, which is a very rich and expensive oil used in the most expensive perfumes in the most expensive department stores. The average salary per year in Haiti is about $1,700. That's per year. $1,700 a year. That's considerably less than a family of Haitians on welfare would make in the United States per month. Now, do you understand? Folks, here's the truth. Haiti's oil reserves are now worth $120 billion U.S. dollars. That means the country, Haiti, is among the 1% wealthiest nations on earth. Doesn't that blow your mind that the people are so poor and the country is so rich? Let me assure you that nobody wants to talk about this. But I have to confess, when I first heard about the discovery of oil in Haiti, I was quite skeptical. After all, why haven't we heard about this before? And I asked myself, why are the Haitians so poor? Friends, let's get to the truth about Haiti oil reserves and the big multinational oil companies. The reality of the situation is that there are still many untapped oil reserves in many areas around the world, and Haiti is one of them. The big oil companies are licking their lips over this. And all the usual suspects are lining up to dip in and get a profit and take some money out of that country and squeeze it for all it's worth. According to a report from Radio Metropole, scientists Daniel and Jeanette Mathurin say that Haiti's oil reserves are larger than those of Venezuela. Another disaster country. Isn't it strange that many of the disaster countries all have tremendous natural resources, whether it be Venezuela or Haiti or some of these republics in Africa? In fact, Daniel Mathurin says Haiti's oil reserves are so much larger that they are not even worth comparing to others. Haiti is once again falling into chaos. After the deadly hurricanes that we saw earlier, after a devastating earthquake with over 200,000 dead, Haiti is once again in the news because thousands of Haitian refugees are landing on our shores. They're landing, a lot of them, on the shores of Florida, and they're also pouring across the Mexican border. Can anyone guess why all the turmoil and quote-unquote natural disasters? Could they possibly be HAARP-related? Have you looked up HAARP? That's H-A-A-R-P. That's a frequency system used to manipulate weather and seismic activities. Look it up. Look into it. Dig deep, and you'll see what I mean. Can anyone guess why the Clintons and Jeffrey Epstein were so inextricably involved in Haiti? Why were they there? Oil is one of the reasons, okay? Recent findings show that the nation of Haiti might have some of the largest oil reserves. As I said earlier, the oil reserves are estimated to be larger than those of Venezuela, as I said. Nations that are found close to the Greater Antilles, such as Puerto Rico, Cuba, Dominican Republic, and Haiti, are estimated to be sitting on natural gas as well, of about 159 billion cubic feet, and oil, about 142 million barrels. It's also estimated that undiscovered reserves could hold as much as 941 million barrels of crude oil and natural gas, thought to be about 1.2 trillion cubic feet. Areas thought to be rich in oil include the Central Plateau, the Bay of Port-au-Prince, Thomond, and the Cul-de-Sac Plain. Daniel Mathurin, a French scientist, has compared Haiti's oil reserves to a swimming pool compared to those of Venezuela, which he likened to a glass of water. How about gold? Estimates for the value of gold, which might be extracted through open pit mining in Haiti, are as high as $20 billion. Eurasian Minerals and Newmont Mining Corporation are two of the firms involved there. And iridium. Nobody talks about iridium. Iridium is a very precious mineral resource. Iridium is found in large quantities in Haiti. Haiti has the second largest reserves in the world of iridium. This metal today is worth more than gold or even Bitcoin. And let's talk about poverty. Poverty, as I said, the average annual income is about $1,700 a year. And even welfare pays them more in the United States than they can make in a whole year in Haiti. That's why they're so desperate to come here. With all those natural resources, not to mention their agricultural crops, and holding over half the world's vetiver essential oil reserves, which is used to make that high-end perfume that everyone loves to wear, they've got all this stuff, so who's making all the money? Perhaps that's the reason why the Clinton Foundation and Jeffrey Epstein were heavily involved there, and why our CIA has been tinkering with Haitian leadership for decades, and why several Haitian leaders were either deposed or assassinated or exiled, and, they see all these opportunities to exploit the fog of turmoil and chaos to harvest human beings for child and human trafficking and exploit the tremendous natural resources found in Haiti. Now, Do you remember what Donald Trump, some time ago, said about the Clintons and some of their involvement in Haiti? I'd like to play you a short clip to refresh your memory. Listen to this.
Knows, of course, Hillary's belief that it takes a village, which only makes sense, after all, in places like Haiti, where she's taken a number of them.
A convicted child abductor caught stealing children in Haiti with the Clintons. As we've reported here over the past 48 hours, details have emerged from the FBI's reopened investigation into Hillary's emails that were found on Anthony Weiner's laptop, that serious additional crimes were also under investigation that were unrelated to the email server case involving, among other things, child trafficking. Now, WikiLeaks has just released perhaps the biggest bombshell yet, now spreading like wildfire across the web, revealing emails showing how the Clintons supported child stealer Laura Silsby. Now, there was also an email where they were actually pricing how much it costs to transport the children.
The Haitian prime minister is calling 10 American missionaries kidnappers. Now, the missionaries are behind bars tonight in Haiti for child trafficking after allegedly trying to take 33 Haitian children into the Dominican Republic. Now, some of those kids thought they were just heading for camp and even said that their parents were still alive.
It happens every time. There's three different types of people that show up, unfortunately, on these scenes. There's the adoption mills, and that's what this group seems to be involved with, taking these children to the northern coast of the Dominican Republic, where there are plans by this group that's based in Idaho to set up a huge complex, including a seaside villas for waiting parents who are waiting to adopt children, to a restaurant.
So you can see there's a lot of involvement in Haiti, and a lot of it flies underneath the radar. And most Americans have no clue of all the criminal activities that are going on surrounding Haiti. And yet, the Haitian people are suffering. So, now you know the real story about Haiti. Now, here's another breaking story. The federal government has been illegally surveilling and building profiles for Americans in secret portals called DSAC. For those who oppose firearm restrictions, lockdowns, and vaccine mandates, and or support border security and are labeling them as domestic extremists. So our Domestic Security Alliance Council, that's DSAC, along with the FBI and Department of Homeland Security databases, are keeping profiles based entirely off of political beliefs. And they're keeping profiles on American citizens, illegally, by the way. They're working with 650 companies to gather data on Americans using merchant category codes to flag people who shop at places like Bass Pro Shop, Cabela's, and or purchase religious texts like Bibles. The FBI Department of Homeland Security has been requesting personal financial information from people's banks without warrants to create these profiles. And they're keeping tabs on Americans who may dissent from what the government is doing. In other words, they're being watched for their opinions and for their purchasing behavior. And they're surreptitiously being kept in database for surveillance purposes. This violates at least three amendments, folks. Welcome to the surveillance state. And that's courtesy of the Patriot Act. And now, in a similar way, the TikTok bill that just passed Congress. You can't make this stuff up. Okay, in other news, back in the news, Missouri versus Biden is back in the news. This is absolutely the most important case of our lifetime. Why? Just think about it. The internet particularly Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, is the new public square. The government of the United States of America actually had people banned from the new public square. Yes, they were banning people from TikTok. They were banning people from Twitter. They were banning people from Facebook. They were banning people from YouTube. All right? The government of the United States had people banned for thinking the wrong things, for sharing ideas they didn't agree with. The spirit and intent of the First Amendment is that no one may be banned or barred from speaking freely in the public square. And that's why this case is so important before the Supreme Court right now. The U.S. government violated the First Amendment of the United States Constitution, and we are, therefore, at a crucial crossroad in our nation's history. In this case, the United States government is basically arguing that they can censor anyone's speech by strong-arming our communications and media companies. This, in and of itself, is deeply alarming. This was no doubt a vast government conspiracy to outsource censorship in our nation to the social media companies. And it's before the Supreme Court right now. It just got heard on Monday morning. And Attorney General Eric Schmidt of Missouri is leading the charge, and he's the one who filed the lawsuit on behalf of the state of Missouri. I listened to the entire hearing, both sides. The U.S. government attorney made his points, and then also the attorney for the plaintiff, the state of Missouri. And my personal thoughts on the hearing are this. It was abundantly clear that, as the dissenting justices wrote on their decision to stay the lower court injunction, most of the bench hadn't read the record in its entirety. So most of our Supreme Court justices haven't even really read the whole thing. And that's a problem, because it's impossible for them to make a decision if they haven't read this or the injunction itself. And then they let blatant lies by the U.S. government attorney stand. I mean, I'll give you an example, one such lie, all right? That the injunction would bar the agencies from contacting social media regarding foreign attempts to malign and misinform, okay? So they tried to say that if we had an injunction on government interference with social media, that it would stop our government agencies from contacting social media to get foreign attempts to misinform the public under control. Now, that's absolutely untrue. There's a clear carve out for that behavior. And there were no foreign attempts presented even as evidence in this case. So it's a hypothetical. It's a pipe dream. Of course, they're going to stop foreign interference with our social media. But that doesn't mean that they shouldn't have an injunction against government interference in free speech. The government attorney lied, and he misrepresented this to the court. Justice Kagan asked if there were any findings to demonstrate government censorship of speech. The attorney implied that there were not. There were 364 findings, in fact, so there were. He lied. She didn't read the case. She didn't even respond. She asked him, and she took his word. Now, these justices seem to err on the side of, the concept that the government needs to protect Americans and their free speech rights should be damned. Now I understand that SCOTUS operates differently, and they might ask questions that might seem antithetical to hone in on arguments. So they might try and ask the opposite to get the to get the people presenting to them to speak to the other side. They do that quite a bit. But that didn't seem to be the case here. You know, Americans should take note. These justices seem to equate each and every one of you to like journalists working for media organizations. That was their hypothetical question said over and over again, that everyday American speaking about potential vaccine injury is akin to a journalist writing a piece for the Washington Post. That's just not the case. Depending on their ruling, this may work in our favor, okay? But I didn't think that the attorney for the states did a very good job. He focused very narrowly on the record, and he didn't pull out parts of it that directly refuted the arguments. So again, prime example of direct targeting, we'll have to see. We're going to stop for a break right now, and we'll be back with more on the Supreme Court case.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
The pandemic may be over for some, but millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of toxic spike protein from COVID-19 and the vaccines. You've heard Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company discuss the harmful effects of spike protein in your body, and now they found the solution. The miracle enzyme nattokinase. Their spike support formula contains nattokinase, the most compelling and scientifically supported approach to safely clear spike protein out of the body. What's more, spike support is optimized with other all-natural, non-GMO ingredients, like dandelion root, to help prevent spike protein from binding to your cells. Everyone should take daily spike support so you can feel your best. America Out Loud listeners can go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Welcome back to Unleashed, the Political News Hour. I'm your host, Bruce Robertson. Before we left for the break, I was talking about the Supreme Court case on free speech that's before the court that got heard on Monday, at least opening arguments were heard. And I was saying that, you know, it's concerning that these justices may not have actually read the case. They may not have actually read all the stuff. I think they just read the briefs. We'll have to see. But, you know, clearly Kagan didn't press too hard. and Sotomayor wasn't interested in answers, only hearing herself talk. She interrupted every chance she got. And I was absolutely stunned, in this case, at the level of control that seemed to be intimated by the justices, that the government can absolutely coerce censorship if it's in order to correct misinformation. Are they the sole arbiters of truth? Isn't the answer, misinformation should be protected too, okay? That should be protected speech. You know what the solution to misinformation is? True information. You can counter misinformation with the truth as long as there's free speech. And, you know, the plaintiff's attorney actually made a good point about that, and I was happy that he did. You know, it isn't like we have discovery in this case. There's a voluminous record here with specific examples over and over again. Having said this, if the justices would just actually really read the record, I think they're going to grant the injunction, but they have to read it. You know, there's just no way not to grant the injunction because the appearance and the actions of the government were so bad in this case. You know, they were not only coercing, they were actually, it appears like they were ordering social media to ban certain people and ban certain ideas and ban certain discussions about certain things like COVID, like the vaccines, like, you know, it goes on and on. There's actually a laundry list of things that they suggest social media doesn't let people talk about. All right. That's how bad it is. You know, this case will continue no matter what SCOTUS rules. But remember, two separate lower courts have agreed on this. And the Fifth Circuit reconsidered the decision to add government agencies to it. So, you know, it comes down to this. Is the First Amendment really important, or is it just a convenience for peacetime or when Big Brother doesn't feel that they have to protect us from things? That's the real issue here. So, you know, you can just take a look at what their version of truth is on all the hotly contested topics of the moment. You could argue that their truth during the COVID period and during the lockdowns and during the mandatory vaccines and people losing their jobs and so forth, you could argue their truth killed more people than it saved. The bottom line, the court, let's pray it does the right thing. It was a really bad oral argument by the state's attorney. You know, he lied, he misrepresented facts, he misrepresented the record. And the biggest ray of hope in this preliminary hearing of arguments was raised by Justice Alito, okay? Alito really stepped up during this argument. He asked, how often does the Supreme Court ever overrule a finding of facts by two lower federal courts? And I think that's important. They have to overrule two separate courts in their two separate rulings that were not joined. Okay. At the end of the day, I think they're going to probably make some concessions and carve out some boundaries for what can and can't be done. But I think they're probably going to preserve the injunction. I hope they do. I don't think they're going to toss it out altogether, but we'll see. In other news, Donald Trump sues ABC News and host George Stephanopoulos for defaming him during an interview with Representative Nancy Mace. Good. It's about time. About time somebody got their just rewards in the court. A little lawfare for the other side. The lawsuit stems from Stephanopoulos' questioning of Rep. Nancy Mace about being a rape survivor. Now, Nancy Mace, if you don't know, she's in our House of Representatives, and she has been quite candid that she was a rape survivor. Okay. The show host tried to shame her by saying, how could you support Donald Trump? You know, when you're a rape survivor, how could you support Donald Trump? He's basically lying about Trump during his questioning of Mace because he asserted that Trump was found liable for rape. Now, here's what he said. He said, judges and two separate juries have found him liable for rape and for defaming the victim of that rape. How do you square your endorsement of Donald Trump with the testimony we just saw? That's what Stephanopoulos said. Here's the only problem. Trump was not found liable for rape. Not in any way, shape, or form. That's not what the court found. Even though it was a kangaroo court, that's not what they found. These statements were and remain false and were made by defendant Stephanopoulos with actual malice or with a reckless disregard for the truth, given that defendant Stephanopoulos knows that these statements are patently and demonstrably false. That's what Trump's attorney said. So it's going to heat up for George, little Georgie Stephanopoulos. Let's give him a name now, too. Let's give him a Trumpian name, little Georgie. Okay. You know, the government's not having a great week in the courts, folks. The Supreme Court also unanimously ruled this week against the government in a no-fly list case. Have you heard this? They unanimously ruled Tuesday in the Supreme Court that a man's challenge to his former placement on the no-fly list can move forward. So he's challenging the fact that he was put on a no-fly list. And they found that the government failed to show that his lawsuit is moot. The man's name is Jonas Fikre. He's a U.S. citizen who previously resided in Sudan. He claimed that his placement on the list was unlawful, and he sued the FBI. The government later removed him from the list when he sued them and signaled it was unlikely that he would be re-added. So you see what they're trying to do, right? As soon as he raised a protest to this, and it became clear that this was going to be a big case in the media and that he sued them, they took him off the no-fly list, and they tried to make it a moot point, right, to basically squelch the lawsuit. They then contended that his lawsuit was moot as a result and it should be tossed. See what kind of dirty games they play? Okay. They did it. The damage was done. His lawsuit should stand. All right. The government warned that not declaring lawsuits like Fikre's moot at the onset could require the government to disclose classified information. Well, there they go with the classified information again. Well, we can't disclose classified information, so therefore he can't sue. The Supreme Court rejected that assertion, enabling the case to move ahead. Justice Neil Gorsuch was the hero in this case. He said, necessarily, our judgment is a provisional one. And this is in the opinion, okay? He said, just because the government has not yet demonstrated that Mr. Fikre's case is moot does not mean it will never be able to do so. He said, this case comes to us in a preliminary posture framed only by uncontested factual allegations and a terse declaration. As the case unfolds, the complaint's allegations will be tested rather than taken as true, and different facts may emerge that may call for a different conclusion. Now, Fikre alleges he traveled to Sudan in 2009 to pursue an electronics business he was looking to grow in his native East Africa. That's basically Sudan, okay? The FBI questioned him while in Sudan, according to the court filings. And they told him he was on the no-fly list and could be removed if he became an informant for the FBI. Can you imagine? They're trying to coerce him to be an informant if he wants to be free of the no-fly list. So he allegedly refused and he moved to the United Arab Emirates, where he claims he was then abducted and tortured for months by the UAE's secret police at the FBI's request. Well, you know, our government has all these off-site rendering areas where these foreign third-party countries will torture people at our government's request. That's been going on for a long time. They did that with terrorists, for example. But apparently this guy's not a terrorist. So after leaving the United Arab Emirates, he said he moved to Sweden. And then he filed his lawsuit and he sought asylum in Sweden. He was denied asylum in Sweden. So Sweden flew the guy back to Portland, Oregon on a private jet. In 2016, the government told him he had been dropped from the no-fly list and his lawsuit was moot. That's what they told him. Okay. The district court agreed, but the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals reversed it, leading the government to appeal to the Supreme Court. The FBI cannot play whack-a-mole with the rights of people, including Muslims. The FBI cannot place innocent Muslims on the no-fly list, only to then block that unconstitutional list from scrutiny by removing those Muslims whenever they file a lawsuit. That's what the Council on American-Islamic Relations said, and they argued the case for Fikre in a statement. Now, however you fall on this, wherever you fall, rights are rights. The guy's an American citizen. Okay, he's a Muslim. That shouldn't be the issue. The issue should be, did he do anything wrong? Why was he on the no-fly list? And if he was innocent and he was on the no-fly list and it impacted him, he has a right to sue the government, okay? And just because they took him off the no-fly list when they found out that his suit carried some weight doesn't mean they shouldn't be called out and asked to explain and possibly be liable. So Gorsuch took the lead in the opinion again. He said a case doesn't automatically become moot when a defendant suspends its challenged conduct and then carries on litigating for some specified period. Gorsuch said, nor can a defendant's speculation about a plaintiff's actions make up for a lack of assurance about its own. For that matter, given what little we know at this stage about the proceedings, Mr. Fikre may have done none of the things the government presumed he has, perhaps wishing to, but refraining for fear of finding himself relisted. So you see, they put pressure on the guy. The guy sued him. They pulled him off the no-fly list and hoped it would just go away. Well, it's not going to go away. The Supreme Court is going to hear the case. You know, here's one last hot news item. All right. This week, James Lindsay and Joe Rogan discussed how faith is the best deterrent to totalitarianism. The key takeaway in their statement, this is what they said, James Lindsay and Joe Rogan, all right? They said the state is never above God in Christianity and Judaism, ever. So when the state goes against your religion, you're going to say, no, I have a higher duty, and it's not to the state. And if you kill me, I'm going to a better place. So I don't care. How about that? So our country's under siege. What are we going to do about it? We can talk about it. We can go on and on and on about it. But what are we going to actually do about it? Normally, I would say that we take it to the ballot box and we vote the criminals out, or we vote the people that offend us out of office. But now we have a ballot box that's increasingly being stuffed by questionable ballots. Our election system has been weaponized. Normally, I'd say, let's take it to legal authorities. Let's call law enforcement. Let's get people arrested or at least brought to court on charges. And that's what some of these people are doing. Donald Trump is doing it. This Muslim gentleman from Sudan is doing it. And others are trying to bring these cases to light in court. But let's also remember that in some cases, maybe not the Supreme Court, but in some cases, maybe in the lower courts, we don't have a fair justice system. We have justices and law enforcement officials that have been compromised. So we have a weaponized justice system. We have a weaponized election system. Congress is useless because they're being basically bribed by lobbyists and other interests. They don't think they work for us in many cases. So who do we have to redress our grievances? What can we do, actually, short of uprising against government? What can we do? You know, our Declaration of Independence is clear on this. I don't know, it's not a very popular, very popular topic, but the Declaration says that when government offends the people and acts outside the people's best interest, it's the people's duty to remove the government. Of course, that's not what they were trying to do on January 6th, but that's certainly what the media and the left is suggesting they were trying to do. So, more food for thought. And we're approaching the end of our show tonight. But listen, we want to unleash the truth. We need your help to unleash the truth. And the only way you can do that is to go on America Out Loud to the Unleashed show and our other shows. Okay, we have five great hosts during the week. And if you go to the Unleashed area of AmericaOutloud.news and you like, subscribe, share, and listen to our broadcast, it will do great things to help unleash the truth. So we're asking you to enlist yourselves as our emissaries and our supporters and go out there and unleash the truth. It's as simple as that. And so we draw an end to our program. And I'm Bruce Robertson. Until next time.